Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and my next guest, Lawrence Wright, will soon need an extra room in his house for all the prizes he's winning for his book, The Looming Tower, Al-Qaeda and the Road to 9/11. He won a Pulitzer for the book this spring, as well as the J. Anthony Lucas Book Prize. Remember the Lucas classic, Common Ground, about race in Boston? There's a prize named after him now, and Lawrence Wright won it. He won the Lionel Gelber Prize and was a finalist for a National Book Award. In addition, his play based on the book called My Trip to Al-Qaeda will be back at Town Hall on June 5th and 6th. Lawrence Wright spent more than 5 years researching the book, interviewing hundreds of people, including Al-Qaeda members and relatives of Osama bin Laden. And I'm delighted to have journalist and now one-man show performer Lawrence Wright back on The Brian Lehrer Show. Hi, Lawrence. Thanks for coming on WNYC again, and congratulations on your well-deserved awards.
Thanks, Brian, and thanks for having me back.
Remind us of one piece of Looming Tower prehistory. You wrote a movie that looked eerily like 9/11. In the 1990s, didn't you?
Yeah, I was a co-writer of the movie called The Siege with Denzel Washington and Bruce Willis. And it was about terrorism and what would happen to our country if terrorism came here to New York. And it was in 1998, which was 3 years before 9/11. And many of the things that were in the movie, not just the terrorist strikes in New York, but the subsequent actions, such as the army in the streets of New York, Arabs rounded up, suspects tortured, all of those were unfortunately plot points in the movie, and it was a dismal experience to watch them all come true.
Were you onto something, or were you just indulging your worst violent fantasy fears?
Well, mainly the latter. I did talk to members of the counterterrorism force in the FBI in New York. And at the time, they were very anxious about terrorism coming to New York or to America. And so the script really reflected their paranoia, their fears, which were, as it turned out, well placed.
And did that experience make 9/11 even more meaningful for you in a way than it would otherwise have been, and lead to your immersion in it over the last 5 years in Al-Qaeda?
Yes, to some extent, Brian. I mean, it was a really creepy feeling for me in many ways. You know, when the strikes happened, everybody was talking about how cinematic they were. It looks like a movie. And I kept thinking, oh, it looks like my movie. And it was a very uncomfortable feeling. Certainly, having written that movie and then I had previously lived in the Arab world, I had taught English for 2 years at the American University in Cairo when I was a young man. So I had some experience in that part of the world. I spoke some Arabic. In some dismal way, I had predicted these events. So I think all of those factors were motivating causes in having me decide to write a book about this event.
Now, in the play, My Trip to Al-Qaeda, you use a hypnotized chicken as a metaphor for Saudi Arabia. What's that about?
Well, first of all, the hypnotized chicken is an experience that I had when I was a kid. We used to ride up to Kansas, to the old family farm where my dad grew up. And one of my cousins came up to me and said, "Have you ever hypnotized a chicken?" I said, "Well, no, nor did I think such a thing was possible." But we climbed up on the barn where the chickens roost and crept up behind them. And he grabbed a hen and tucked its head under its wing and whirled it around 10 or 15 times and set it on the edge of the roof of the barn. And it was a very, very odd thing. I mean, the chicken just stood there motionless, paralyzed. And I use that image. I compare Saudi Arabia to that hypnotized chicken because the country is, in some respects, in a kind of social coma. it's frozen. And why is that? I talk about in the play all the factors that one would think would lead that country to an immediate total revolution. You know, the depression, the youthful population, the resentment of the royal family, which steals 30 to 40% of the national income. There's so many things that are, so many forces that are bubbling up in Saudi Arabia that would cause any social scientist to say that, you know, this is a country overripe for revolution.
In fact, let me I'm sorry, go ahead, you can finish your thought.
It's the fear that has gotten of turning into, you know, all the countries around Saudi Arabia that have had their revolutions have gotten worse. And so the Saudis are paralyzed by the idea that change doesn't bring progress, it brings only misery.
Let me broaden that, and my guest is Lawrence Wright, author of The Looming Tower, Al-Qaeda and the Road to 9/11, which has won a number of prizes this year, including a Pulitzer, and the one-man show, My Trip to Al-Qaeda, which will be on the Town Hall stage June 5th and 6th. Let me broaden that concept, because you were quoted in the Times this spring saying, perhaps Al-Qaeda can be best understood as an engine that runs on the despair of the Muslim world, especially its young men whose lives are so futile and unexpressed, unquote. What's the source of that despair?
Well, there are many contributing streams to this river of despair that flows through the Muslim world. One of them, for instance, is economic. If you look at, just say, the Arab world, it reaches from Morocco to the Persian Gulf, larger than the United States. There are 300 million Arabs, about the same number as there are Americans. If you took oil out of the Arab economies, and only a few of the Arab countries actually produce an appreciable amount, the 300 million Arabs produce less for export than the 5 million Finns, essentially less than the Nokia telephone company, which is the main product that Finland produces. And if you put oil back into those economies, those 300 million Arabs produce less than half of the gross national product of the state of California. So expand it to the Muslim world. There are 1.3 billion Muslims, and the preponderance of them live in the 57 countries that are members of the Organization of Islamic Conference. Those 57 countries produce less gross national product than the country of Germany. So to start with, we're talking about countries that offer a very barren future to their young people. And then add to that the repressive governments, the systems that choke off any possibility of exploring an exciting future life for a young person. The gender apartheid, the illiteracy. I could go on and on. There are a number of different factors, but all of them are contributors to the generalized sense of despair that gives rise to this kind of radicalism.
By the way, if you said, especially it's young men whose lives are so futile and unexpressed, why would the young men be more in despair than young women whose choices are probably even more restricted under that gender apartheid you mentioned?
Certainly, women's lives are really, restricted. They don't tend to express their despair in terms of radicalism. But there was a study of depression that was done at King Abdulaziz University, bin Laden's alma mater in Jeddah. And of the 2,000 students that were surveyed, 65% of the boys and 72% of the girls showed symptoms of depression. And 7% of the girls admitted they had attempted suicide. That's a really stark measure, I think, of the toll that this kind of despair takes on women in that part of the world.
Regarding suicide bombers, the world has been amazed again, I think it's fair to say, in recent weeks by the seemingly endless supply of new suicide bombers that Al-Qaeda is finding for Iraq during this U.S. troop surge. Are you surprised?
Well, no. I think of, one of the real calls of Al-Qaeda, actually the only thing it really offers the people who join it is death. And, Al-Qaeda was born in Afghanistan in the jihad against the Soviets when many Arabs responded to the call of martyrdom. They weren't really going there to beat the Soviet Union. They never considered that a real possibility. But they did go there to die. And that's the soil in which Al-Qaeda was planted and flourished. And it still summons a lot of people. There is a lure of death that is a part of Al-Qaeda's appeal.
So in your opinion, should the United States be fighting Al-Qaeda with the military or fighting despair in the Muslim world, or is that a false choice?
To some extent, it is false. I mean, I never disagreed with our need to go into Afghanistan, for instance. I thought that that was very important, but it was a tragic mistake to go into Iraq. If you read the memoirs, the internal documents of Al-Qaeda, their own leaders talk about how 80% of the Al-Qaeda membership was captured or killed after Tora Bora in November, December 2001. And the leaders, the survivors who did get away, were scattered, destitute, unable to communicate, and repudiated all over the world. The movement was essentially dead. The war on terror was over. And it was the invasion of Iraq that brought that movement back to life.
So, knowing Al-Qaeda as you do, let me put you on the spot and ask you what you think about the central political debate that our country is having now over continuing the Iraq war, because Republicans like the president and Rudy Giuliani say withdrawal would hand Al-Qaeda the victory they're seeking over the United States, which would then leave us more vulnerable to attack here at home. How much do you agree?
Well, you know, I'm in a really miserable spot, Brian. I was opposed to going in, and now I'm opposed to getting out. I've been looking at the world through Al-Qaeda's lenses for more than 5 years now, and I can see how, in many ways, they're in the catbird seat. If we stay, you know, they continue to attract young jihadis to fight against us, and they can prosper over the fact that they're fighting against this imperial power.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very attractive recruiting tool for a lot of young jihadis. But if we go, they'll be incredibly emboldened, and they'll have a sanctuary in Iraq where they can train future jihadis. You know, if you look at the history of Afghanistan, you know, the Arab Afghans who became the core of Al-Qaeda, you know, were essentially trained. They formed their networks in Afghanistan, and they formed Al-Qaeda, and then they went out and waged war against the West. It's hard for me to believe that the end game of Iraq is not more of the same. Not to say that staying... It may well be that we will, you know, we'll create as many monsters by staying as we will by leaving. But I think we've got to leave and leave as little victory on the table for Al-Qaeda as possible.
Lawrence Wright is my guest on WNYC, author of The Looming Tower, Al-Qaeda and the Road to 9/11, and now The One-Man Show, My Trip to Al-Qaeda, which will be on the town hall stage on June 5th and 6th. Lawrence, how different was it to write the material for the stage than for the book?
Well, it was a completely different experience because I'm not a character in my book, you know. And so this is very personal. It's about my experiences in talking to these jihadis, these Qaedists, and oftentimes I was not able to maintain my reporter's neutrality. It was a very raw period of time, especially in the months right after 9/11. Those were, it was hard for me to keep my own emotions in check. So there were a lot of very heated discussions, and it's also, I also discussed some of the changes that have taken place in our own country as a result of those strikes. And it's
like what?
Well, you know, the war on our civil liberties is very concerning to me, and much of this has happened without really having a political debate. Part of the object of the play is to open this discussion about what kind of country we've become and whether that will really make us safer or not.
Do you have a different goal with the play than with the book?
Yeah, I mean, it's the book is a history. I want people to understand, you know, who these people are and where they came from and why we failed to stop them. Those are the objects of the book. But in the play, I'm laying out for people the sense of, you know, who these people are, but also who we are. You know, when Bin Laden attacked America, he was really posing two questions. One is, you know, what is America? And the other is, what is Islam? We can't resolve the second question. That really, really ultimately lies with the Muslims themselves. But we do have to address that first question.
We just have a minute or so left, but I read your online interview with the blogger Hugh Hewitt. Real quick, because I want to get two parts in here. You told them that Al-Qaeda used to have more pragmatic political goals.
Yeah.
How has that changed?
It's become far more nihilistic, especially as it spread. Originally, Al-Qaeda was a middle-class to upper-middle-class organization comprised of people that were well-educated and had traveled in the world and so on. Now it's become much more proletarian. It's spread into, for instance, into the poor areas in Europe where Arabs and Muslims are sitting on the sort of margins of society. And their goals are so unrealistic. You know, I mean, not that Bin Laden did have, you know, obtainable political goals. He wanted to drive the American forces out of Saudi Arabia, and he really more or less succeeded in that. But as Al-Qaeda's spread, its goals have become more utopian and diffuse. And
30 seconds. Does that make it easier or harder to fight?
It makes it harder to extinguish the idea. But, you know, if we can't win the war on ideas with Al-Qaeda, we don't have a place in the world anymore. They don't offer anything to the people that follow it except death. They have no political future, no plans. They're not really a political movement. It's more like it's more of an instinct, like a snake bite.
Lawrence Wright, his book, The Looming Tower, Al-Qaeda and the Road to 9/11, won the Pulitzer Prize, among other prizes this spring. His related play, My Trip to Al-Qaeda, will be at Town Hall June 5th and 6th. Thank you very, very much.
It was a pleasure, Brian. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.